Hi, I'm Mark Richardson, and welcome to Remodeling Mastery. Remodeling Mastery is a podcast series that's really designed to help you think about, reflect, and really kind of adjust your thinking on the business. What I try to do is take different topics and themes that will really help you to take your game to the next level. For the last 12 or 18 months, I've been heavily focused on sales and the consumer and how to kind of adjust what you're doing, at least by 1 or 2 degrees, so that you can really hit, I think, the mark and not be off track. Today, I want to talk about a little bit different topic, a topic that really, I think, is like the glue in any business, but it's really focused on the whole topic of meetings, how to create world-class meetings, how to understand, I think, meetings as it relates to business, business growth, and business success. So with all that being said, I want to really just sort of share why this topic became especially important, I would say, and was really key to what we were able to do in terms of growth. So many years ago, I was actually on a little road trip with one of my friends and certainly professional colleagues, Pete Miller. As we were talking in the car on the way, he was reflecting, I was reflecting on all the different meetings that I was involved in and how it was really getting kind of overwhelming and really was not necessarily able to get out there and do enough different kinds of interesting and creative things. And one of the things he said to me that really, I think, stuck and became the foundation for my mastery in how to create better meetings is he turned to me as I was driving along and he said, "Mark, meetings are your job." And when he said that to me, all of a sudden, I realized that was my job to create not only world-class meetings, but create a better meeting experience, I think, for all of my team as well. So what I want to do is talk about some tips. I'm going to give you 20 kind of ideas, themes, strategies, tactics in about 20 minutes or so that you will be able to, I think, weave into your game and kind of make a real difference. I'd encourage you to write these things down, but also feel free to pass this podcast along to other leadership team members so that you can actually make this topic really a topic for discussion. How do we create world-class meetings? And you can weave some of these tips into what you're doing, and I think really will help. So number one on my list, many years ago, I was listening to a very famous author and speaker by the name of Daniel Pink. And Daniel said in this speech, which I'll never forget, there are three key elements to make a good speech. And I've taken these three elements and wove them into how do you create great meetings? Because I think they each represent not only a checklist, but they give you some guidance of how to think about meetings. And the three elements were brevity, levity, and relevance. So let's just start with brevity. You know, your meetings have to be the right length. And I know this sounds a little bit condescending to many out there, but there's so many meetings out there that last 2-3 hours that should be 45 minutes. There's so many meetings out there that you're so focused on efficiencies that you're trying to squeeze them into 30 minutes that need to be 45 minutes or an hour. So having the right length of time, the right level of brevity to the meeting, it's got to be the right length, but it's also got to be the right cadence within the meeting. Think of this like going to a movie. If you come out of a movie that is 2 hours long, that was a great movie, you say it's a great movie. You come out of another movie that is 3 hours long, but still a very, very good movie, you say it was a long movie. You don't necessarily say it was a great movie. So the length and the brevity of the meeting is so, so important. Okay. The second part of this is levity. You know, it's really important to have a little bit of levity and lightness and kind of fun in a meeting. If you're not having fun, fun. It's not going to be something that people want to be part of. If you're taking yourself too seriously, it's too rigid, you're not having the right kind of visuals in the meeting, the right kind of mix of conversation and technology and visuals in a meeting, it's just not going to be very interesting. So you got to have the right lightness and the right level of levity in a meeting as well. And then third is relevance. You know, the last thing that people want is a meeting and heavy discussion on things that aren't necessarily relevant to do what is accomplished to accomplish the overall big picture goals. So you've got to make sure that the meeting and the amount of time and energy in the meeting is spent on super relevant stuff. Okay. Number two on my list is to go ahead and take some inventory. You know, meetings are a product of evolution. Many, many years ago, you started to do a certain meeting. That meeting started to grow. Maybe you added a few more people into it. And all of a sudden, this meeting has created a life of its own. And it's just become kind of a rote exercise for you. So I would encourage for you and your team is to take some inventory of the meetings. Take some inventory, listen to this podcast, and then actually score the different kind of meetings you do. Try to diagram the different meetings you do. Take inventory of the amount of time the meetings take, but also listen to each other, the different team members, about how they feel about the meetings. You know, one of the mistakes I think a lot of leaders have is are the meetings really for you or are they for your team? Well, if they're for your team, you better listen to what the team has to say about the meetings and get some really good feedback of how to make the meetings better, but also thinking even in terms of eliminating meetings. Some of the groups I'll come in and talk to, we eliminate and squeeze juice out of meetings that, quite frankly, are just not really critical. Okay, number three on my list is when you think about meetings, there's all sorts of types of meetings that you need to think about. So, for example, you have client meetings. You know, in a client meeting, you got to control the controller. That meeting has to have a certain agenda, certain techniques. You have a leadership meeting. That's about leading the overall company. But you also might have an executive meeting where you're dealing with much more visionary things. You know, you might in fact have a production meeting or a sales meeting. You know, you've got to weave in the right degree of trainings into meetings as well. What is the right blend? Think about the meetings that you have and also the blend. It's kind of like a meal, the right amount of appetizer, main course, and dessert within the meeting if you want to have a successful meeting. But it all starts with all the different types. And I think the more that you own all these types of meetings and really work on them, you're going to be more successful. Okay, number four on my list. Many years ago, I was on Anderson's advisory board. And one of the overall themes of the advisory board, which also became a theme within my book, was listen, learn, and respond. I think it's a wonderful theme when it comes to thinking about meetings. The meetings are very much about listening. They're very much about soaking in the listening and learning from each other. And then last, but just as important, is respond. You know, the road, you've heard the adage, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, if you don't actually act on things, it doesn't really mean anything. So the response is super important. So you need to think about all three of those elements, listening, learning and absorbing, and then also responding. Okay, number five on my list is thinking about meetings as kind of a team sport. You know, many of you have heard the little formula, 1 + 1 = 3. That's synergy in meetings. And if you really have really good meetings and you put a lot of the right people in place and you listen within it, there's magic that can come out. I know many years ago when we were doing a brainstorming meeting and trying to develop a new way to do bathroom remodeling, what we had within that meeting was a production manager talking to a designer and then a marketing person. And one of the things the production manager was talking about was, gosh, if our folks even knew what you design and spec, we could do it more efficiently. So one of the themes that came out of this synergy amongst these different individuals was everything that we would specify for the bathrooms needed to be production proven. In other words, we didn't use the client to learn about how to do things. And I know that resonates for many of the remodelers listening to this. So you can see the meeting as a way to find that 1 + 1 = 3 and the synergy that can come out of it. Okay, number 6 on my list was it's important not to be the musician for every different topic. Your job as leader in this process is to be the orchestra director. So as you sit back in the orchestra director, you're going to have many other people in the meeting. You need to assign them. You need to tap on their shoulder. You need to lean on them either to participate in the meeting in a certain way, but also be experts and carry the ball. A quick story on that. Many, many years ago, we had one individual that was struggling with following up with clients. So in the meeting that I facilitated for them, I said to this particular person, his name was Steve, I said, Steve, you know, why don't you give us your top 10 kind of letterman tips on how to follow up with a client? Well, number one, it forced him, because of pride in front of the rest of the group, to say things and start to do the things and get better at it. But it also got the weight off of the leader, or me in that case, of leading that particular topic. So he spent 10, 15 minutes taking that topic. So the best way to think about this is see yourself as an orchestra director. And you have different musicians. You have the clarinet, you have the trombone, and you have the piano. Those are the different members within the meeting itself. How do I really leverage them in the course of it? Okay. The next one on my list is the right meeting cadence. So as you think about all your meetings, you have annual meeting, you have a semi-annual meeting, you have a quarterly meeting, you have monthly meetings, and then you have weekly meetings. So if you think about kind of holistically, you know, it's kind of almost like in the design process of a remodeling project, you have a really broad stroke of where you're just kind of conceptually kind of figuring out the direction. Then you move down to some different designs and parts and pieces, and then more detailed planning, and then executing on a project specifically. You know, your meeting cadence and structure, I think, is similar. You need to be able to hit at all those levels. If you skip, for example, the selection process and not have it be effective in the overall remodeling process, probably it's going to break down. So by really thinking about the right cadence of meetings, I think that's really appropriate. I find in working with some companies and taking some inventory, they're doing things out of sequence, or they're doing too much of one and not enough of the other. So think about what meetings need to be annual, semi-annual, quarterly, monthly, weekly. So you do that, and I think it'll make a lot more sense. Okay, number 8 on my list of the meeting cadence and structure is you've got to control the process, but you also have to let the leash out. You know, you don't want to make this meeting so mechanical and so sticking always to the agenda. So I always encourage, use the meeting as a structure to the meeting, but let the leash out, so to speak, in the meeting. You know, don't hesitate, just like a good quarterback in a football team, to call little audibles. When you see, for example, the dynamic in the room or the individuals, they have an idea, you got to let the leash out and let that play itself out a little bit, or you have to divert. I think it's important, really, concept. Number 10 on my list is you have to listen to the dissonant voices. You know, oftentimes I think one mistake I see in meetings, and especially with roundtable groups, is it's oftentimes the loudest person in the room ultimately is dictating what is being not only said, but not necessarily also the right direction to go. So I always encourage the leader, the owner of the meeting, to listen to the dissonant voices. You know, my friend Scott Mosby shared that little phrase from a book he was reading, and I really, really hit a chord for me, and it really made me focus of who are the dissonant voices? Who are the quiet voices that don't speak up? You got to poke the bear, I think, with those voices, and you have to engage everyone, even if it's just more of a thought and theme. And I think oftentimes you're not only elevating their value to the rest of the group, but they will say certain things, I think, that'll be extremely important to you as well. Okay, number 11, I think with any meeting, it's important to have the rules of engagement established. You're going to talk about agendas, you're going to talk about a lot of things, but especially now, in light of the technologies and the cell phones and all the different things, you know, have them, give them a minute or two to go into the cell phone, answer any particular emails or texts that they have, and now shut it down for the next 30, 40, 1 hour, whatever the length of the meeting is. Have rules of engagement. You want them to be focused on the topic. You're going to let them know that you're going to call upon them, and they have to be really focused and paying attention. You want them to be on the field in a meeting and not in the stands just observing. You know, so I think the rules of engagement in a meeting, however you establish that, are going to be really important as well. Another little tip that's always kind of fun, and I've seen this in different meetings, certainly I've led as well as different meetings I've attended. It's sometimes good to have the right segue, the right icebreaker, the right way to start the meeting. And sometimes a way to start the meeting is to go around the horn, and not only just with introductions, but a little ice maker. For example, you know, one company I work with oftentimes will have each person within less than 60 seconds share something professionally positive in their life and something personally positive in their life or over the last week or two. And it oftentimes, it just changes the flavor and tone. It makes the meeting much, much more human, but also more positive. Another little icebreaker that certainly I've done and others is go around the horn, even with a well-established kind of group that knows each other, and ask them to share one thing that the rest of the group might not know about them. You know, it's amazing what you learn about each other by each person sharing one thing about them. And I would be adventure to say 9 times out of 10, no one in the rest of the room really knows those things. Okay, number 13 on my list is with the technologies, you know, be sensitive to how you go on your video conferencing, your Zoom meetings, your team meetings today, and really, really dial in. You know, I was taking some inventory of that topic as I was on a trip, and I was speaking to someone, and I was looking back of the pre-COVID times where we were certainly doing a lot more face-to-face meetings versus now, which we're integrating technology. And I'm actually doing probably 50 to 75% more meetings leveraging technologies. But those technology meetings, they have to be equally strong and good. So make sure, for example, that everyone is on their individual calendars, not at a group setting. It's very hard to interact via Zoom when everybody or several people are on in conference rooms. Have them be on individual cameras. Make sure that it's clear in terms of the muting and how you want them to respond, or if they have a particular point that they want to share, you know, whether it's raising their hand or whatever the signal is to you as the facilitator and moderator, but really make that Hollywood Square opportunity equally great. I think you're going to squeeze some efficiencies, but you're going to make it a lot more enjoyable as well. Okay, number 14 on my list is the 80-20 rule. You know, and I think the more you think about and take inventory of the 80-20 rule, you know, 20% is about you presenting and speaking and leading, and 80% is about the listening. You know, think 80-20 about the listening and the acts that you're going to get out of that particular meeting. Okay, the next one on my list is going to be a classic thing that exists in a lot of meetings, and that is make sure you don't get too wound around the tree or the leash wound around the tree here and as it comes to different topics and issues that come up. You know, always have a parking lot, as you've probably heard before, that when there are topics that you need to say, okay, that is an important topic, but let's put it in the parking lot, and we will either make time at the end of the meeting to address it, or we're going to address it in the next meeting. You know, you don't want people to be stifled, but at the same time, you don't want to have an agenda with several items in the agenda and not be able to really accomplish it. Okay, the next one on my list here is the power of three. Now, for those of you that really know me and know kind of what I think about all the time, is I'm a big, big believer in the power of three. You know, what's interesting is the power of three is it's all about helping people comprehend, helping people frame what you want to talk about. So you might say, for example, you know, my role in this meeting is A, B, and C things, to facilitate, to be the, you know, color commentator, but also to mediate the discussions, those three things. Or you might say there are three things that we want to cover in this agenda today. Or there are three goals. Try to leverage the power of three. I think everybody in the room can comprehend three. If you only have one thing, it's kind of boring. And to have 15 things, it's so overwhelming. People are going to judge you and judge the meeting how you're checking things off the list. So by addressing it more in terms of the power of three, I think you're going to be much, much more effective. Okay, number 16 on my list is world-class one-on-ones. Now, there are a lot of group meetings, but the world-class one-on-ones are probably an area that many, many leaders are really falling short on. It's very important every week to have a world-class one-on-one with the people that report to you. The one-on-ones are not about you, they're about them. If you want to see them elevated, people are your greatest asset, you've got to give them the right care and feeding. And I think a great format to be able to do that is a one-on-one. I strongly encourage a format that is a 45-minute to one-hour meeting with your key reports once a week. Now, for those of you that have an excessive number of reports, you might have to do that every other week. However, those that have five or six reports, having a one-on-one once a week represents only about 10 or 15% of your time, and I think you're going to see the kind of returns, and you're going to get a dividend of great amount of time back if you do them. Now, within that one-on-one, I really encourage three parts. And if you do it weekly, you can do this very effectively. The first part is just a few minutes, 5 minutes or so. And in that 5 minutes, it's just about quick catch up on just what's happening out there, little observations, those kind of things. Another 15 or 20 minutes of that meeting is about strategies and challenges that your person is having that you want to be able to mentor, coach them on, that's very specific to their work. Then the next 20 or 30 minutes of that meeting is going to be spent on them and their development and on how they're feeling about things, how you can be a little bit more of that just overall coach and mentor for their overall growth in the business and certainly just as a leader. And I think if you can really commit to that and make those one-on-ones like going to church, it's something that is the most important part of your week, I think you're going to see a big benefit that comes of it. Okay, number 17 on my list, and we're almost done here, is follow-up. You know, it's always important to have a very brief, clear, concise follow-up from these meetings. It might just be setting the tone in terms of your enthusiasm of the meeting. It might be summarizing. It might be giving them some specific reminders of who's accountable for what from the meeting, but always have the follow-up from the meeting and try to do it fast. So keep it alive and do it very quickly. Number 18, another kind of metaphor that I think is very cool, but it's important, I think, when it comes to meeting structure and just overall flow and leadership. I often will come in and do a meeting or help a group with a meeting, and I call it more of a splash. That splash will have ripples, but those ripples go away very quickly. So you got to think about not just the meeting, you got to think about how do I keep the ripples alive? How do I have multiple touch points after the meeting? Because those drips after the meeting oftentimes are where the real work gets done, and that's where it's so important. Okay, number 19 on my list is make the meetings fun. Make the meetings fun. I oftentimes try to think about different topics and how to make them games, how to have people do little mini simulations on different topics within the meetings by scoring or having them on a 0 to 10, score this topic or that topic or this person or how you're taking inventory on things. What it does is it makes it a little bit more interesting and fun. You know, it's always good also to integrate, you know, some food or candy or something into the meetings that make it just more casual and more enjoyable. If your meetings are not fun, try to just add a little bit of fun into the meeting, and I think you're going to feel better about it. People are going to enjoy them more and certainly want to participate in a more meaningful way. And number 20, and the last on my list for our little podcast today, is you own the meetings. You know, one of my themes is it's our obligation to communicate, not others' responsibility to understand. And the key to that theme is ownership. You own the communication and you own the meeting. And I think if you can be owning it, you can be patient, you've got to get work on it to massage it, you'll get it to the next level, communicate that, you know, realistic expectation for the rest of the team, I think you're going to see a whole different level of meetings in the future. So I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast. I know this was a topic that we're really kind of drilling into some different kinds of things, but I think if you can embrace even some of these and make them part of your conversations in your next meeting, you'll be able to take not only the overall game to the next level, but the health of your organization as well. Take care, everyone.